Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
However, if the tree in your backyard caught on fire, and the firemen came to put it out, but they couldn't put it out, it just kept burning, it would be on national news. And so there's a lot of times that God, I believe in 2024, is wanting to speak to us as the church, but because we become so accustomed to good church, because we've become accustomed to great music and great worship and the light show and the haze and all of that, we feel God at church, but we don't give ourselves a place to feel God outside of church. And remember that Jesus doesn't live at Living Way. And Jesus' power is not any stronger in this altar than it should be on your living room sofa. And so I want to encourage you from the onset of today's message, give God space and get your expectation that God, you can disrupt and interrupt my life anywhere at any time. Interrupt means to break the continuity, the uniformity, the same old, the business as usual. So sometimes God gives us a divine interruption by breaking the monotony of life, the boring day in and day out of life, but sometimes God says an interruption will not do any disrupts. A disruption is where God literally changes something from the inside out. It is a radical change. How many of you that are living for God know that even if you've been walking with God for 10 years or 15 years, that in 2024 you can lift a hand to heaven and say, God, disrupt my life again. Lord, change me just as drastically this time as you did when I got saved. Here's something that God has just impressed on me this year, and really as we have dove into this series, I began to think about it more, church. I think about how far I've come since the day I've gotten saved. I think of how far I've come since July of 1999. That 25 years ago, I said yes to Jesus. And then this is where my faith kind of took a great leap here in the last few weeks. What if God does in the next 25 years the same distance that he did in the first 25 years? How far am I going to be in my faith if I will say, God, I'm not resting on what you've done, but I give you full control to do whatever you want to do to take me further, to take me deeper in my relationship than ever before. God uses divine interruptions to get our attention, to deliver us, to change our direction. Remember this, and I can't get away from this quote. Write this down if you're taking notes. Direction is so much more important than speed. Because we all know people that are going nowhere fast. I don't want to go anywhere fast. Sometimes it takes daily steps. Sometimes it takes discipline, and we don't like that discipline word, but how many of you know if you give God all that you can and God starts moving you an inch every day or 6 inches every day or a foot every day, at the end of the year, you are going to be a lot further along than you were when you started. So sometimes God doesn't do it quick because God wants to do it right. And usually if it's done quick, it's done the wrong way. And God wants whatever he does in your life, check this out, church, God wants whatever he does in your life in 2024 to be sustainable so that in 2026, 2028, 2034, that you are still living at the level that God is introducing you to in July of 2024. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I want to show up when God tells me to show up. So it's changing our direction, changing our action, changing our identity. Sometimes God says, excuse me. And our response should be like Moses, here I am, or use me. We know that Moses goes on to do incredible things. God uses these divine interruptions sometimes to bring delays. God's timing is perfect, church. You will hear me say this a million times until the day I die or Jesus raptures his church. God's timing is perfect and he does all things well. Well, Pastor, you don't know how long I've been waiting. God's timing is perfect and he does all things well. Well, you don't know what I'm fighting. God's timing is perfect and he does all things well. Because if he brought that thing to you when you aren't prepared, it makes a good thing the wrong thing. Or maybe he brings the right thing to you when you're not prepared. Or the wrong thing when you are prepared, and it's never going to work. He does all things well in his time and is perfect. And sometimes divine interruptions are redirection. It's God literally changing the course of our life. We left off last session talking about I'm always amazed that God chooses to show up in these interruptions and these disruptions. In moments where great men that go on to do great things and great women that go on to do great things are doing ordinary tasks. Moses was watching a bunch of sheep when God called him. Gideon was threshing wheat on the floor when God called him. Moses was watching sheep. Elisha was plowing the fields. They were working their 9-to-5 job when God interrupted their life and called them to greatness. Moses is about to lead 3 million people out of bondage. David is about to defeat the biggest giant that had ever defied the nation of Israel and go on to be the greatest military mind and greatest king that Israel had ever seen. Gideon is getting ready to defeat 32,000 armed up and ready and weaponized Midianites with 300 people with just a shout, a couple candles, and a few water pitchers. I'm here to tell you that if you will allow God to interrupt your everyday life, God will use you to do extraordinary things. But you have to be able to put your life on hold and say, all right, God, interrupt and disrupt my life. God will never interrupt you with great until you are doing good. Some of us don't do great because we miss that step of doing good. I don't have to be everything God has called me to be in my life today. I just have to be what God has called me and ordained me to be today. You don't have to be the 2028 version of you in 2024. You just need to be a better version than you were in June and a better version than you were in 2023. And you need to be growing in the things of God. God will never interrupt you with great until you're doing good. A divine interruption demands, ask not what God can do for you, but ask what you can do for God. When was the last time that your prayer solely consisted of adoration and worship of God and asking God, what can I do for you today? What a powerful prayer. God, I woke up and every problem I have and every problem that I could point to and write down, the world, over 80% of the world would love to have yours and my problems that we wake up with tomorrow. He said, well, gas is $3.15. Yeah, that means you got a car. You didn't have to walk. You know who don't complain about gas mileage? Those that don't have cars. You say, well, I got a headache. You don't have cancer. People that are fighting cancer don't complain about the headache. And so there's a lot of times that when we approach God, it's always, God, I need you to do this. God, you are not going to force God to interrupt your life. You are going to allow God to show up when he wants to on his timetable and ask you to do. Because remember, it is not us submitting to his will until he shows up when we don't want him, when we don't call him, and he asks us to do something we don't necessarily want to do. But we say, here I am, God. If you are calling me to do it, then that is going to be a part of my now and my next. We must train ourselves to see and hear God in the normal, monotonous, in the ordinary. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. This is a great story. When you read this story and this account, it's encouraging, but it also shows some maturity, and we're going to get there here with Elijah. Verse 11 of chapter 19, and God said, go forth and stand up on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great strong wind rent the mountains and break it in pieces, the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. How many of you know if God tells Elijah, he said, I want you to go on this mountain, and right when Elijah gets on the mountain, a tornado swirls by, the winds pick up and blow. How many of you know that most believers would mistake the wind for God? Because the wind showed up at the place God told him to be, at the time God told him to be there. And so he just assumes that it's God. Can I tell you, quit assuming, because when you assume, I won't go there because it's church. We might say it at youth camp, but not on a Sunday morning. Too many believers are making an assumption, and the bad thing about making an assumption about God is you start making decisions based on based on what you've assumed about your future, about your children, about your marriage, about your purpose, and because you've assumed wrong, now you are making wrong moves. And if you make wrong moves, you end up in the wrong destination. And then when you end up at the wrong destination, a lot of times you blame God, you blame everybody else around you, not knowing that it all started with a wrong assumption. The Bible says God told Elijah, go to the mountain. And when he goes to the mountain, the appointed place, the appointed time, the wind starts blowing. And the Bible says, but God was not in the wind. And an earthquake happened. The place God told Elijah to be starts shaking. But God was not in the earthquake. Can I encourage some folks in the room today? A lot of times we are preaching to the people that aren't spiritual enough, but there are some of us that are creating spiritual situations out of things that aren't spiritual. And in doing so, you make all of us look crazy. Remember this, when God calls us a peculiar people, he doesn't mean weird. He doesn't mean strange. He doesn't mean odd. He doesn't mean the kind of people that turn people off of God. He means set apart. You are different. You are not like you used to be, and you are not like them. You are now like Christ, which means now we exhibit behaviors. We want them to see Christ in us. He wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. See, this is where you have to rightly divide the word of truth. Because in one situation, in Exodus chapter 3, how does God show up? In the fire. Man of God, Moses, sees a fire. God is there. A few hundred years later, Elijah shows up. God speaks to him. A fire is there, but it's not God. Every prophet does not speak for God. Every person of faith doesn't have the same faith that you have. Every person that showed up to church today doesn't believe like you believe. Everybody that has the Christian box checked on Christian Mingle and Where Ebony's Meet and FarmersOnly.com, just because they check the Christian box doesn't mean they're the same Christian as you. You have to be able to say, there's a fire, but that's not a God fire. And then in the next breath, we say, Lord, send your fire. Well, wait a minute, you just discredited that fire. Yeah, I understand. I'm mature enough to know God's not in the fire. That's not his fire. In the Old Testament, the Bible says that they created strange fire, fire that was not authorized by God. He wasn't in the wind, wasn't in the earthquake, wasn't in the fire. And the Bible says this, and after the fire, the still, small voice of God was speaking. And it was so. And Elijah heard it, wrapped his face in the mantle, went out, stood in the entrance of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what are you doing, Elijah? Sometimes, church, listen to this, the divine interruption is not going to be a big blaze of glory. And a lot of us are expecting God to meet us with a pillar of fire in our backyard. And sometimes we are wanting God to use a prophet to drive to our house, knock on our door, and tell us what he's saying. Sometimes, and can I just say, dare I say this, most of the time, he is not going to start with a shout. He is not going to show up in a big blaze of glory. But most of the time, for believers, it is the still small voice of God, which makes me believe that's why a lot of us miss the voice of God, because we're thinking and desiring the big booming voice that we see depicted in the movies.
Brandon, you are my son, whom I am well pleased.
I should get some voiceover work. I really should. And so if tomorrow morning when I wake up, I hear that, I'm all about it. Speak to me, God. What do you got for me? But can I tell you how most of the time it happens? Hey, Brandon. Psst, hey. Are you listening? See, I have a microphone, and you're still having to hear. Listen real. To hear what I'm saying. Some of us miss God because he's not yelling at you. He's whispering to you. And see, to hear a whisper, you can't hear what I'm saying unless I get close. The reason you're looking at me strangely and the reason they're clapping is I just told them I'm going to buy them all lunch today. And you're back there with your arms folded saying, well, I can't hear you. Well, there's a lot of things that God is wanting to do in your life. And there's a lot of people. That's why you can have somebody get excited during the word over here or during worship back here. And you're saying, well, this is the same song and I'm not feeling what they're feeling. Could it be that they are hearing the whisper of God and God's interruption is not a preacher preaching at the top of his voice? Maybe it's God just tapping them on the shoulder saying, hey, I see you. Hey, I heard your prayer on Thursday and I'm working on it. Hey, I'm moving in that situation. Hey, I haven't forgot about you. Hey, you know that coworker that's been annoying you? I've called you to minister to them and love them. You know that situation that everybody else has given up on? I remember your prayer from 9 months ago and I'm gonna work in that prayer. And I've been working in that prayer. And those of us that understand what a whispering God sounds like. Check this out. Let me get to the notes because I only got 6 minutes left. This is what maturity is. Maturity is being able to hear the whisper of God. I don't know how many times, and can I just, I'm known as a blunt guy. Can I be blunt? And I'll try to clean this up a little so it's not so offensive. But a lot of believers, members of Living Way and Beyond, when they find out I'm a pastor, they say self-incriminating things all the time. They say things like this, like, God never talks to me. So you have now placed the blame on him. His refusal to talk to you. He's mad at you and doesn't want to talk to you. Because when you say, God just never talks to me, that's not what I hear. What I hear is that you are too immature to hear the voice of God in ways that you are not used to hearing it. See, in Living Way, we want to raise up mature believers. See, when you come in this building, it is A-okay for you to start on the bottle. It is A-okay for you to have that pacifier and have to have somebody make the milk and have to have somebody burp you and have to have somebody change you. All of that, that's okay for the first few weeks. But then we want you to graduate to Gerber graduates, praise God. And I don't like Gerber graduates because I've had steak. But when I was just on milk, the first moment that a baby has the baby food, they're thinking, where has this been all of my life? And the first time they have apple juice, they're like, whoa, you've been holding out on me. I've been on this formula stuff and there's something called apple juice. And then the first time they have Texas sweet tea, oh my goodness, life changes. Can I encourage you, there is a level to the maturity that God is wanting to bring you to, and it is not going to happen through the screaming of a preacher, and it's not going to happen through the loud worship of a team. It is going to happen on normal, ordinary days when God speaks into your life, but he doesn't yell, he whispers. When you open the word of God and the pages start talking back to you, that when you pray to God, it's not just you in a monologue, but God is creating dialogue with you. You talk, he talks. He talks, you too. You talk. You ask a question, he answers the question. He asks a question, you answer the question. I'm talking to mature believers or believers that are on the road to maturity. Maturity doesn't demand a loud God. They just demand a speaking God. And here's the thing. How many of you love church? I love church. I love Sunday church. Now, I love, like, when we were singing Yahweh today, like, I feel like I could storm the gates of hell with a water pistol. Like, let all of us, let's just go. Let's go down and deliver everybody up out the strip club and the crack house. Let's just all leave right after this. Like, that's how I feel. Like, I love Sunday service. But the loudness of Sunday, it fades pretty quick, y'all. Like, today at lunch, when the wait staff isn't as good as you think they should be or quick, when that dude cuts you off in traffic, I was proud of a good friend of mine. I was in the vehicle with him this week. Somebody cut him off. The old friend, before he was really in touch with Jesus, would have dropped some F-bombs. But maybe it was just because I was in the truck. I don't know. But when things don't, because the loudness of Sunday ends at 12:30 today. The loudness of this expression ends today. But guess what? For the rest of today and the rest of the week, God is going to be whispering to his people. And the fact, this will answer some questions in the room today. Why do we hear Jesus, but the atheist living in the same world, people going to the same church haven't received what we received? It all comes down to maturity, that you are able to hear the whisperings of God, and it doesn't have to be loud and grandiose. It can be the still, small voice. Maturity is hearing the whisper of God. Maturity is recognizing the moving of the Spirit. Verse 3, this is amazing. Moses said to himself, "Why is that bush not burning up? I must go and see it." Moses begins to notice that the fire is not burning itself out. The bush was not consumed. Having never seen anything like this, he decided to draw close. Somebody say, draw close. If you're taking notes, I need you to circle that. I need you to write it down in the margins. I need you to make sure that you write down that phrase, draw close, to investigate the phenomenon. When you are seeing, hearing, and experiencing something new, you have two choices. This is what happens when something new is shown or you experience something new. Because if it's something new, it might not be new to everybody else, but it's new to you. That's why as a pastor, I have to constantly remind myself, I grew up in a church that expresses Pentecost like we express it, with people speaking in tongues and people dancing, shouting and raising their hands. But I have to remind myself, there are some people that are in this room today, maybe and for sure have been there this week, because I talked to one that have never been in a church before. And the worship that we loved is foreign to them. We ask them to come to an altar and let a stranger rub anointing oil on their head. People on the left and right are falling out, being slain in the spirit. They're hearing people speak in tongues. And they've never been in a church with an expression like this. And then if they do get saved, we're like, well, you really need to get into the water with a stranger. Let him hold you under for a minute. See, it sounds crazy if you don't know what it is. But the difference between most of us in this room and the rest of the world is, as they come into a service like this, and what they don't understand, they run away from. What they don't comprehend, this doesn't make sense. I don't know what church is supposed to be. I just know you're not supposed to do that in church. There's an old gentleman that showed up at one of my friend's churches. He's raised on King Ranch. He was 75 years old, staunch Catholic. He goes to my friend's church. My friend's church, they're running the aisles. They're jumping up and down, speaking in tongues. People are giving prophetic word. All of this is happening. His name was Elvino. I said, Elvino, what'd you think? He said, Pastor. Actually, he didn't call me Pastor. He said, Brandon. He says, I don't know a lot about church, but I do know that God doesn't want people acting like that in his church. It's just because he didn't understand it. He had never heard the whispering God. He had only heard the loud Catholic God. Come on, somebody. And maybe it's the loud Baptist God for you. Or maybe it is the loud Pentecostal God. It's not about religion. We always say it's about relationship. You know what relationship is? It's the whispers. Mandy's only been mad at me 200 or 300 times. But only once or twice has she ever gotten it out of this range. And I hardly ever get it out of my normal range, because my normal range is so intense. But because we're in relationship, we don't have to raise our voice. We whisper to one another. We talk because we're in relationship. You know, the only time we really get loud is when we haven't seen each other for a while. When I come back from camp, I'm gonna throw that door open. Mandy, I missed you! But for 99% of our relationship, it's whispers, and it's the volume turned way down, because we're already connected. She can say more to me with a look than most could with an hour-long speech. Whether that's good or bad, you can take that. I want my relationship with God, church, to be such where God just can nod his head and I know exactly what he's saying. These Wednesday nights have been special. You say, well, what is God saying? I don't know what he's saying, but I know that Wednesday nights at like 8:20, God just does this. And there's people that at the dismissal, they turn around and leave, and they're at Applebee's. But the ones that heard the whisper at 8:20, they're on their face before God. In about 2 minutes, we're going to stand and the altars are going to open. And you're going to see at least 30 or 40 people, if not 200 people, come to an altar. You say, I wonder why they went and I didn't go. Because they heard a whisper. And you say, well, are you slighting me in some way because they heard it? Well, some whispers aren't for everybody. Some whispers are directly to you and for you only. Sometimes God speaks publicly, but when he speaks publicly, it usually is loud. But other times on the third to the back row, God's saying, meet me at the altar. I got something I want to give you. I got something I want to do in your life. Well, God, you can do it at my seat. I know I could, but I need to make sure you can hear me. And I need to see some faith. And I need to see those feet moving. I'm talking to somebody today that's ready for the whisper. Give me just one more moment. The two choices we have when we experience something new is, number one, we draw back. Moses didn't draw back. The Bible says he drew closer. I must go and see it. The question, church, is will you draw back at those interruptions? Those minor inconveniences that you complained about, you didn't know that that was God delaying something. You didn't know that that was God redirecting you. I've had to practice what I preach because the trains have been after me since I preached that 2 weeks ago. I've sat at like 7 or 8 train. I sat at one at 2 a.m. the other night. I'm thinking, goodness gracious, you had 24 hours. And then I got to look in the rearview mirror and say, I'm delayed, but I'm not denied. I don't know what's on the other side of that train that God just kept me from. And other times on 78, for those of you that live out Shirts Cibolo, I see those trains and I know there's a bridge in Shirts that I can go under the tracks. And so God just redirects me. So are you going to draw close to those interruptions, or are you going to draw back? It is human nature to retreat and run from things that are different, things that we do not understand. But I'm going to give God permission, praise God, to interrupt my life. I'm going to give God the interruption to do whatever he needs to do to not only get my attention, but make sure my faith is where it needs to be. Standing on your feet all over the building. Our culture needs Jesus, y'all. Our world needs Jesus. Our city needs Jesus. Our culture is now reaping the whirlwind of a generation that was raised to draw back instead of draw close. Say, Pastor, what does drawing back in a culture look like? It's taking prayer out of schools. Because you understand, when you take prayer out of schools, you are saying, God, you no longer have the right to interrupt homeroom and third period and basketball practice. What does it look like for us to draw back in a generation to take the Ten Commandments out of courtrooms, to make abortion the law of the land, to minimize the sanctity of marriage between one man and one woman? All of those things are a collective drawing back, and it did not start in 2024. It started with parents no longer placing importance on taking their kids to church. It started with dads no longer gathering their families around at night and saying, it's time that we have a Bible study tonight. It started with mothers not laying hands on their children. I remember going to bed with an oily forehead because of my mom and my grandma. I want to encourage you, Living Way, it is not time to draw back. It is time to draw close. It is not time to step back. It is time to lean into. So you can draw back or you can lean into. It is human nature to draw back, but it is spiritual nature. Check that. It's human nature to draw back, but you're a new creation. It's not human nature for you anymore. It's spiritual nature to lean into. God, I don't understand it, but instead of doing this, God, I don't understand it, but I'm gonna step into it. Let's talk. Teach me. Let your spirit guide and instruct me. God, I don't know what that means, but I'm gonna set up a time to talk with Brother Kevin and Sister Tammy and let them pour into my life because they got decades of hearing your voice. They're mature believers. I'm gonna see what they have to say. God, I'm not gonna refrain from. And that's one of the biggest things that we see in churches today. When mistakes are made or something happens, people run that way. When we want you to run this way. If you have problems, this is your church. If you got pregnant at 14, this is your church. If you still got a drug addiction, this is your church. If you're dealing with trans and you're dealing with all of these confusing identity issues, this is your church. We love you and we don't want you to go that way. We want to bring you into Jesus. We want you to lean in and say, I don't understand that. Or perhaps you say, I don't even agree with what he's saying. Give it time. Give it time. I've seen it, church. Those that lean in, their life begins to transform. They begin to look like Jesus. The altar call is very simple today. It's for those that are ready to hear the whisper. I am a pastor and not a prophet, so it's very easy for me to say this. I can't tell you what God is going to say, but I can teach you how to hear what he's going to say. A prophet will flat tell you, thus saith the Lord, this is the word of God for your life. I'm not that guy. I'm a pastor, not a prophet. But what I can tell you is meeting God at an altar, whether it's on a Sunday or a Monday at your house, and giving God room and leaning in, saying, God, I need to hear what you have to say about my life. I don't understand it. I don't comprehend it. But God, if it's from you, I want it to be in my life. I want it to be a part of my life. And I'm going to be transparent, church. At 42 years of age, been living for God for 25 years this month. Actually, 25 years this last week. My spiritual birthday. 25 years old in the faith, and I still have to fight the urge to draw back. I still have to fight the urge to go backwards or to stay where I'm at. And I have to say, God, I'm leaning in. I don't understand that, but I'm leaning in. I wouldn't have chosen to do it like that, but I'm leaning in because if it's you and it's from you, then I want it in my life. As we get ready to pray, I'm going to ask our pastoral team, prayer team, to go ahead and start praying. Go ahead and anoint. I'm going to ask our prayer team to go ahead and stand behind each of these as much as we can. We might have to double up, triple up, but I want you to get ready to pray. Sister Clementine, if you'll help us. Alyssa, if you'll help us. Miss Denisha, if you'll help us. Miss Beverly, if you'll help us. We've got people that are wanting to be filled with the Holy Ghost today with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's an important part of your expression, of God's expression in you. For those of you in this altar right now, I know that a lot of times we want God to shout, but it is the whisper and your ability to hear the whisper of God from here moving forward that is going to show your maturity. You don't need the burning bush all the time. You don't need the earthquakes. You don't need the tornadoes and the whirlwinds. A still small voice will show up in your ear at your job, in your ear at the family reunion, in your ear on vacation, in your ear stuck in traffic.